This is the fifth tape in the Australia Remembers recordings. This one is recorded at the Berwick RSL Club on Wednesday, the 16th of August, 1995. During the working, the years of war, I was 29 years of age. I was a mother and wife with three children. And my husband was recalled for the Navy because he was an ex-serviceman and on the reserve. So he went actually 1 year before the war, which left myself and the three children at home. Chamberlain came back and he said that there would be peace in our time and we thought it would be all over. But it didn't work out that way, and within a year of that happening, he was recalled for duty and was on HMS Enterprise going, we didn't know where, because it was a very secret mission. And I was left again with the three children. At that particular time, I was doing district work, delivering babies, and was able to work my time and hours with looking after the children. And at times when I was called out at night, then I'd have a neighbour who was very kind and helped me with the children. Then, of course, war was declared, and I suppose it was every man for himself, really. I didn't really want to. I just wanted to carry on with my district work and look after my children, but it wasn't to be that way. And I was informed that the children would have to be evacuated because we lived in the London area and very near a place where they made ammunition, so it was quite vulnerable, in as much that all these places we imagined would be useful to the Germans in knowing that, and they would be the first places to be hammered if there was to be bombs dropped. It would be on such places as those sort of factories. From then on, I was called for duty and said that as my children were in that position, I would have to have them evacuated. So I then thought to myself, well, all right, I will go with the children. And then, of course, I wasn't allowed to do that unless I supervised the 365 children. And I remember that very well because it was the same number of days in the year. And we were sent from Liverpool Station to a place called Crynant in South Wales. And I must say that the journey with the guard coming backwards and forwards to seeing how we were doing, we had no mishaps apart from one little boy who decided to open the window when he shouldn't have done and got his thumbnail squashed and ended up with a black and blue nail. But that was the only casualty we had. We arrived at Crynant and all very tired, and we were taken to a church hall where all these mothers and fathers came along to take the children away from them. I kept my three around me, hoping that they would not be taken, but they were. And they were very, very fortunate, really, because they went to a very, very good home. And I had to sign a paper to say that if anything happened to myself or my husband, that they would be their adoptive parents. And because I went into the history of the people, I was quite happy to do that. So then I came back and packed up everything in London, and my house was then taken over by the council for people that had been bombed and had nowhere to live, and I was taken into the service in Chatham, Kent, RN for the at the Gillingham Hospital in Kent. And from there on, we were sent wherever we were required. Any leave that I had, if it was longer than 48 hours, I used to go and see the children, but that wasn't very often. And I was very happy when I did see them because they were being very well looked after and they were all very happy, including the fact that they learned the Welsh language, which was an asset, I suppose. And when I'd come back, naturally you grieve about them. And I hadn't seen my husband in a year, I suppose, or more. And it was a case of battling on, you know. What do you do in those sort of things? But the first thing we had, which was an emergency, was the evacuation of Dunkirk. And that I was part of. So I went to Dover in ambulance, and then on the ship, HMS Medway, on the hospital ship, and we picked up and did as much as we could for people that were either in the water or brought to us in small ships, you know, and then taken back to Dover and then by ambulance from there to the various hospitals in Kent. From there on, you know, Chatham, Rochester, Gillingham were very, very vulnerable places where people, we expected damage. And actually, Vickers Armstrong was one of the factories there that made aircraft and gunnery and things like that. And they were hit very badly. And not only Army, Navy and Air Force people, but civilians. And if you were too busy in one hospital, you would stay there, and if not, you would go off to the other hospitals. And there was one place I did go to, St. Bartholomew's in Rochester, and I worked there for several days with people that we had, civilians, a lot of them, all up and down the corridors. The amount of casualties were in the extreme, really. And then, of course, because I was able to move around in various places, I would go wherever I was required. And the commanding officer at one time said that they had a store depot up in Falls Hill Road, Coventry, and it was a naval store depot, and they were reloading from the store depot into trucks to take them to the various ships. That was different things that were required. And while I was there, we arrived in Coventry at 5:45, and all our goods had gone on, our luggage had gone on 24 hours beforehand, and was housed in the Warwick Hospital. And there was a direct hit on the hospital, and on the casualty, and also on the nurse's home, and all our goods was lost, all the luggage was lost. So we just wore what we had on at that particular time of arrival. And when arriving at 5:45, and then at 6 o'clock, the first bomb dropped. And of course, Coventry was absolutely smashed, you know. There was the whole of the cathedral went, Nestle's went, the Falls Hill Road depot where the naval stores was kept was all under fire. And we always said the going out to help and bringing in the casualties, it was like walking down a place of milk and honey, where all the honey and milk had exploded in Nestle's factory and was running down the streets. It was it was really quite dreadful. And the amount of children that were burned with the incendiary bombs at that particular time, they were coming in with little scalps all like curled So they had been little Negroes because their hair was also black and frizzy and burnt, of course. And it was really quite bad. And they built up what they call EMS, emergency service huts, and put all the naval personnel and airmen and whoever was injured into those particular huts. So we were with personnel, naval personnel or service personnel, as well as civilians. And the hospital was just, it was mad. And the night after, they came back again. So it was really, very, really very, very bad. The conditions of the hospital were in the service. I noticed in the services, we weren't so hard up for bandages and things that really mattered, you know, and linen and things like that. We seemed to have an unending supply of all those sort of things. But I found in the civilian hospitals that there were times when we were running short of things, and I suppose made a difference being a government hospital to a civilian hospital. But whichever way, we had to meet whatever there was, you know. We tried very hard to do what we knew we had to do. We worked long hours. I can never understand them having strikes today. I really can't. But the hours that we worked were interminable, really. And I can't even remember having days off. I suppose we must have, but I can't. We seemed always to be working and going from one place to another. You know, it was very hard. I was most thankful when the war ended, believe me, because at least I felt that I could, although for me it didn't end until 1947, because the house that I'd had been let to people that had been bombed out, and the place had been let into two flats, which was had to be all refurbished, and the bathroom had been used as a coal, and it was terrible, really. And all the windows had been broken, boarded up. So that all had to be done, and at least the council did do that for us, and we moved back. And I was very pleased to have the children back and get back to normality. I found in coming back to normality, it was difficult, in as much that the children were eventually brought back, and they really didn't want to come back. They were very happy in the country. They loved the open air, and they were coming back to a very closed in city. There were new schools to get to be introduced to, and they weren't too happy about that either. However, after a 12-month away, we all got settled down, and I eventually went back to my training school, where I became a night superintendent. And the children at that particular time were able to look after themselves and help themselves, you know. And we became a normal family again. And I came out to Australia in 1956. So I've been here, 40 odd years.